children's camp.
Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Brother Tim. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 8 this morning. Like I alluded to with the children, Moses gives an admonition to the people of Israel to not forget God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 11 through 20. If you wouldn't mind, let's stand one more time this morning as we honor God's word. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting in verse 11. Moses admonishes the people of Israel, "Be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God by failing to keep His command, the ordinances and statutes I am giving you today. And when you eat and are full and build beautiful houses to live in, and your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold multiply, and everything else you have increases, be careful that your heart does not become proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of a place of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, a thirsty land where there was no water. He brought water out of the flint-like rock for you. He fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers had not known, in order to humble and test you, so that in the end He might cause you to prosper. You may say to yourself, 'My power and my own ability have gained this wealth for me.' But remember that the Lord your God gives you the power to gain wealth in order to confirm His covenant He swore to your fathers as it is today. If you forget the Lord your God and go after the other gods to worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will perish. Like the nations the Lord is about to destroy before you, you will perish. And if you do not obey the Lord your God." Father, as we come and we spend a moment of quiet solitude remembering those who have paid that price on that altar of freedom, Father, we know that this is a time for the living, and it is the living who forget. It is people who walk away from the commitments that take freedom. It is people who walk away from the responsibilities that we should hold so very dear in following you, your ordinances and your statutes. So, Father, as we look into your word, convict our hearts. Give us that not so gentle reminder in our minds and in our souls that we do carry a large responsibility to move forward the ideals of freedom, and in that freedom, responsibility. And in that freedom and responsibility to acknowledge the giver of these great gifts, who has brought us out of the land of sinfulness and slavery and given us the ultimate expression of freedom. Father, let us not take it for granted. Let us be found faithful as we serve you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be asking yourself, why did Moses look out over a crowd of young folks, if you will, of all ages, really, of the nation that is about to be born, that is going to be called Israel, and ask them and to remind them and to chastise them and to encourage them to not forget? Surely a nation wouldn't forget things. Surely people who are of all of their faculties would not forget things. And it reminds me of a story. There were three sisters. The oldest one was approaching 100, and the youngest just turned 90. And they had all moved together to take care of one another. And one of them was heading towards the bathroom to take a shower. And just a few minutes later, you hear a call out from the bathroom. "Was I getting in or getting out of the shower?" The middle sister says, "Hold on just a minute." She gets up from the dining room table where the other sister was sitting and begins to head up to the stairs. And about halfway up, she calls down and says, "Was I going up the stairs or down the stairs?" The youngest sister just chuckled to herself and said, "I hope I never lose my memory like they have. Knock on wood. I'll be right there just as soon as I answer the door." That's not the kind of forgetfulness that we're talking about. Those are kind of the things where our faculties go, where our bodies give way and our minds do as well. Moses was instructing the people on a whole other level of forgetfulness. This was not an aging rabble of millions of people, not an army of the elderly about to take the promised land. These were people who were about to enter into what we find Moses called the blessing, if you will. A land flowing with milk and honey, where they were going to prosper into a nation that their multitudes would be like the sand on the shore. They are no longer slaves, and they're about to be kings, if you will, of their destiny, that promise from God. So Moses looks at the people and he says, "You folks are about to be in high cotton. You are about to go into a place where you're going to thrive and prosper. And it's going to be a place where you will knock off the shackles of your past slavery. And you will walk into a dominion of prosperity. But in doing so, be careful. Because forgetfulness never takes part. Forgetfulness in our lives is never more active than when we are in high cotton. We never turn our eyes away from the Lord while we're in the midst of tragedy, do we? That is often when we might find our prayer lives the most active, where our concerns with the heavenly realm and all of those beautiful things that Paul talks about in Ephesians and other places, where that kingdom experience comes down on earth. We are short to forget, if you will. In those days, the Lord. After 9/11, many of you are old enough to remember that. Remember every sign in America said, "God bless America," or something to that extent. And let me tell you, that was a tragic, bittersweet time where people seemed to be returning to the Lord. And it was the best 3 months in America's life. Because as soon as we decided who the guilty parties were, as soon as we decided the threat level that these people were going to pose for us, we put away the Lord until the next tragedy. That's the kind of forgetfulness that Moses is talking about. And Moses gives us, if you will, one thing that needs to be in our forefront, that string around our fingers so that we might remember, and that is the gifts of God. We see as Moses begins in verse 11, "Be careful that you don't forget the Lord your God by failing to keep His command, the ordinances and statutes." That first gift of God is the most evident. God provides everything for us, including rules. God provides everything for us, including rules. Can you imagine our society, as chaotic as it is now, if there were no rules? If there were no laws to govern us, if there was not just the ones on paper, but just rules of common decency, imagine a world wiped away of those things. And God tells us that He is the provider of all good things, and those also come with the responsibility of following His rules. Remember, as we were going through the Ten Commandments those few weeks together, we decided that there are no arbitrary rules, that God gives commands and statutes and ordinances and all of those Old Testament-y kind words for our benefit, as a source of protection for us, a way to get us to live a life that we might become the people that might be pleasing to God, who do not fall into the devil's traps, into the devil's snares, and not, even those that we create for ourselves. God provides everything, even to a country who has dwarfed, if you will, the prosperity of every country and every nation that has come before us. He has provided everything, including rules. And in that, we must be careful, because to live in freedom doesn't always mean we get to do what we can, but we should always do what we should. That is the beautiful and unspoken difference between the world's type of freedom and the freedom that God gives us. The world looks at freedom and says, I can do anything now. And the world is wrong. When Jesus gives us freedom, it is the freedom to do what we should do. Not what we can. Not what we can get away with. We're seeing the fruits of that activity, the fruits of that attitude and that mindset all over our country. From another school shooting to the rabble-rousers that we call our politicians, to whether you should or shouldn't kneel on a field, or whether you should just stay in the locker room. Everybody is worried about what they can do, not what they should do. God provides everything for us, including rules. The second thing we see here and that Moses brings to their attention is that God gives us the gift of deliverance. He delivered those people out of Egypt. And that's why we keep seeing in Deuteronomy that phrase, who brought you out of the land of slavery, the Lord your God. God has always been about the business of deliverance. From the time of Abraham and even back to Adam and Eve, all the way to that one fateful morning when that stone rolled away, that was deliverance. Jesus is about delivering us. And we have sold ourselves into slavery, the slavery of sin, those unseeable shackles that bring us down, that twist us up and destroy not only our lives, but spread like a cancer into the lives of our friends and our loved ones and out into the world. And God gives us the gift of deliverance. And that gift has a name, and that is Jesus Christ, who loved us unconditionally, who loved us unimaginably, that He went to the cross, who looked at its shame and said, I will do that. Who was stripped of all of His dignity, as well as His clothes, and in many places His skin, as the Romans beat Him literally within an inch of His life, only to be displayed as a warning to those Jerusalemites, if you will, those Israelites going to and from, a warning what happens to people who try to usurp the king of the Romans. And doing so, everyone who filed by that spectacle of a man missed the point. Deliverance. That He wasn't doing it. It wasn't a warning. He was making a way. Those words fulfilled that He spoke to us, that we all know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm providing deliverance. The third gift of God that Moses reminds us of is the gift of sustenance. I brought you out of slavery. I took you through a wilderness that was stripped of anything useful. There was nothing there. It was, matter of fact, a land of wildness, untamed danger. And you were starving. And I brought you food that you never saw before. I brought water out of a rock That tells us about the beautiful, majestic miracles that God still wants to do for us. In this dry and arid spiritual land that we live in, God can still provide food. But He's not going to provide it in the sense of some loaf of bread from Brookshire's. That's not the kind of bread we need. He's going to provide bread in unimaginable ways, in miraculous ways, in ways that you have yet to see, because then you know where the bread came from. And He's going to provide water for us in ways unimaginable, in places that you couldn't even begin to speculate about. Rocks, as Israel watched it pour out, and millions of people were given enough water to survive. That's what we need. And that is the very thing that Moses tells us that God always provides. Where are you going for your water? Where are you going for your bread? If you're looking for it in a political party, or in entertainment, or in world, or in relationships, you will come up hungry and thirsty. God provides sustenance to get us from point A to point B, to get us from that place of slavery through the wilderness into a place where we might say we are blessed. Three things, three gifts of God that Moses told those people, remember. For you and I, we need to remember. We need to remember. With Moses, though, there's always a warning. The dangers of being in high cotton. For a people who had been in slavery, who had not known those, if you will, pardon the expression, modern conveniences of Egypt, who had nothing except what they could gather together and run out in the middle of the night with. Nothing. They had nothing. And now they were about to walk into everything. Moses says there's some dangers about being in that. The first danger is the danger of apathy, and we see it in verse 14. Be careful that your heart does not become proud and you forget the Lord your God. We become apathetic. Monday is the same as Tuesday. Tuesday is the same as Wednesday. 1 week is the same as the next week. And our months run into another month, and then we look at ourselves at the end of the year. Where did the year go? We don't want for anything, so we don't go looking for anything. And we sit and we become apathetic. The test of whether you will remember is right around the corner. We got Vacation Bible School. We still need workers. We got a sponsor that's needed for camp. Some of you are already dismissing it and says, somebody else will do that. Can you say apathy? At what point are you going to check into the game? At what point are you going to put aside your comfort? At what point in time are you going to stop and think and remember what God has done for you and how He wants to use you as a blessing in the life of someone else? There is a danger in apathy. Dietrich Bonhoeffer knew this as he was living, if you will, in the land of prosperity in America. And he began to look at World War II, pre-World War II Germany. And he began to see this little mustache man spout all kinds of manner of unbiblical things. And he began to see how he began to usurp and to twist truth and to take over the country. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer left his place of prosperity, flew all the way over to Germany, and began to preach against Hitler and his Reich, only to find himself in jail and on the wrong end of a rope. He said this, folks, silence in the face of evil itself is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is act. Will you remember, or will you stew in your apathy? That's for someone else. I'm so busy now. I've got so much high cotton to deal with. I'll never have time to get to it all. There's a danger in apathy. Moses began to warn the people because their apathy would lead to an even worse thing. And we see it in verse 17, and that is the danger of pride. Verse 17, Moses says, "You may say to yourself, in the future, of course, my power and my ability have gained this wealth for me." There would come a time when the Israelites would look away from God and say, "Look at the society we've built." There would be a day in the life of America where we would look out across this great nation and say, "We don't need you, God. We don't need you in our schools. We don't need you. We don't need you here, and we don't need you there. We don't need you in our marketplaces. We don't need you in our courthouses. We just don't need you. We're able to do for ourselves. We can pull our own selves up by our own bootstraps. We're Americans. We're go-getters and can-doers and all other manner of expressions." And we have turned away from Him. We've become proud. Proud. Do you know I don't observe Memorial Day on Monday? Because no one else does. Everybody who observes Memorial Day does it on Sunday. Everyone else will go to the lake and have a hamburger on Monday. They will not take a moment. Most will not take a period of silence and thank the Lord, if you will, or thank those who've come before them who paid that price. They will go and they will shop, or they will go and they will enjoy themselves. Sunday is the unofficial Memorial Day because it is believers who are the only people who observe it, who see it for what it is. The rest of our country can't even remember the men and women who died to give us freedom. Why would we ever remember the Lord? And now the day is coming where there are so many preachers, whether they're on TV or whether they're found somewhere else, who have turned equally away from God, who have embraced the ideas of and the traditions and the values of this world. And we have turned our back on Him, and we've become proud, and we think we can do whatever we want. I'll ask you this one question and we'll move on. If God didn't want you to have it, do you think you'd have it? Because we find in the Scriptures that this one, this ability to be proud, and I'm not talking about being proud in your children, proud of some accomplishments, a certain amount of pride in people is fine, but when we become all-encompassing proud as a people and as individuals and we forsake the Lord, that's a whole other different kind of pride. And that is the kind of pride that the Old Testament says that God opposes. The Hebrew word for opposes is to make war. The Lord makes war against the proud. If He doesn't want you to have it, what makes you think you can keep Him from taking it from you? How many of us know someone, or maybe have experienced it, and they had everything, and then 1 second later they had nothing? It comes and it goes. Blessings and then cursings. Obediences and then disobediences. And so Moses looks at the people and he says, make sure when you're sitting in high cotton and you've got a big, beautiful house and you've got everything that you can imagine, from beautiful big screen TVs, microwavable pizza, every kind of a convenience, you make sure you remember Him. Make sure you remember Him. C.S. Lewis said this about pride: "For pride is a spiritual cancer. It eats up every possibility of love or contentment or even common sense. Decades ago, the man wrote that from England. And no more of a beautiful description of our country than today. We have become so proud that we can't find love, we can't find contentment, and common sense is way hard to find. A commodity more precious than gold. The last one, and I'll share it with you very quickly. Verses 19 and 20, Moses shares the danger of godlessness. If you ever forget the Lord your God and go after the gods to worship, other gods to worship and bow to them, I testify against you today that you will perish. Like the nations the Lord is about to destroy before you, you will perish if you do not obey the Lord your God. Because God is truth, and He is like the truth. And in the same way, when we lose the sense of truth, it isn't that we stop believing in anything, it's that we believe in everything. And when we leave God, it isn't the sense that we don't become, or that we become godless, it's that we have multiple gods. And we will chase after any and every god. So the danger of godlessness, if you will, capital G, is that we'll believe in every little god that comes our way. There will be no truth to govern us. There will be no remembrances of look what God has done as He brought us out of the land of slavery. It will merely be, what god will I worship today? What are my desires? What are my wants? And I will pick that god off the shelf today. What about you this morning? Are you counting your blessings or your blesser? Are you putting stock in what you own or the one who owns you? Are you forgetting or remembering? And lastly, have you forgotten God? I know that seems like a silly question to ask people right in the middle of a church service. But God finds us where we're at. Have you forgotten Him? It's one thing to live for Him for an hour, once a week. But are you living for Him tomorrow? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, next week? During vacation Bible school, during camp? Or are you going to conveniently forget and hope someone else picks up your slack? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you haven't forgotten Him because you don't know Him. You've heard things about Him. You've seen people worship Him. You've been in church a lot, but you've never trusted Him. You've never got to know the God who came as a perfect baby, who showed us a way that was beyond any way we could ever imagine, and then looked us in our souls and said, I will lay down my life for you. I will go to the cross for you. I will bring you out of a land of slavery into a land of prosperity where you had no purpose. I will give you purpose. Where you were unloved, I will love you. And He goes to that cross. And He dies. But He's too powerful to stay there. He's too powerful to leave you there. And that resurrection morning was our resurrection morning, where you can know Him and finally take in real life, real breath, real meaning, and real purpose. Is that you this morning? You need to know this God. We're going to have a moment of invitation where I beg you to come give your life to Him. For the rest of us who claim Christianity as a label and as a lifestyle, but we've forgotten God. You have an altar here. You have an altar there in your heart. Pray, beg for forgiveness for your apathy and your pride. And then, like Moses said, turn it around. And serve. turn it around and live for Him. Don't fall into the same mistake over and over again. Let's stand. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that You have provided everything we've ever needed, including rules, but most importantly, a Savior who purchased us freedom and purpose and life. Father, if there is one here who does not know You, speak to their heart. Let this be their day of salvation. For those of us who have known You, but we've forgotten, forgive us. Speak to our hearts, speak to our souls, and lead us into obedience. And it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. This is your time of decision. Will you leave your life of forgetfulness and remember the Lord? Amen. As Brother Ken comes to close us in prayer, please remember we got lots of announcements. One that we didn't share with you is that there will not be any church tonight, so spend a little time with your family. Be praying about how we might serve the Lord in this coming service. Also, just want to recognize Brother Geis, who came and joined us this morning. It's always great to have him here with us. He said he'd give anybody $5 if you could remember the last sermon he preached here. $100. The ante is up. The ante is up. And one more just quick reminder, just to hope you'll get a chance to congratulate Miss Linda, Brother Bobby for their 50th anniversary. That's the other side of that divorce statistic that nobody wants to tell you about, that almost half of all marriages last forever. And so be praying for her and for him as well. Brother Ken, come close us in prayer.
Let's pray. Father God, we're here this morning on bended knee, thanking You for Your many blessings. Thank You for these men and women that have served this country and given their lives. Lord, let us always remember that every day ought to be Memorial Day. We ought to memorialize You, Lord, for giving us this freedom. Thank You for this community. Thank You for this church. Thank You for these people. Lord, lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.